This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. The soft terror of small-scale ISIS and a pre-election strategy shift in Britain for the jihadist movement. Three men and a van drove into pedestrians on the London Bridge over the weekend, an attack as simple as a drunk driving incident in Times Square a little over 2 weeks earlier, but with the signature of jihadist terror, the entire city of London was suddenly on full alert as the van then continued onto the nearby Borough Market night spot where the men began stabbing civilians. Less than 10 minutes later, police put an end to the attack, shooting roughly 50 bullets at the attackers, killing all three and only hitting one civilian who is said to be in stable condition. At least 7 people were killed by the men, 48 hospitalized. Of those, 48, 21 are said to be in critical condition. Yesterday, ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack. Small scale, yes. Large impact, yes. And coming less than 2 weeks after the Manchester bombing that killed 22 people, one of 3 terrorist attacks to hit England in the last 3 months, the nation is conditioned, braced, if you will, for more. Londoners, including those who survived the attack, told the media they were defiant and in solidarity. Muslim London Mayor Sadiq Khan said he was appalled and furious at the cowardly attack, urging residents to remain calm and warning that a heightened police presence throughout Metro London is to be rolled out in the coming days. Prime Minister Theresa May, who is facing a general election on Thursday, offered a series of responses to counter the attacks. Quilliam International is a counter-extremist organization headquartered in the United Kingdom, which has advised the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the U.S. National Counterterrorism Center. Usama Hassan is head of Islamic Studies with Quilliam International. He says, from London, we are looking at a shift in ISIS strategy that allows it to take credit for attacks while loosening its connection to the attackers.
This is what ISIS and Al-Qaeda have been inciting for many years, to say you don't have to make sophisticated bombs. You can attack people with a car, a van, a truck, and a kitchen knife. And that's precisely what we've seen in this attack. And it's not just the soft target element. There is also the demonization of Western lifestyle, which is very important. So for the extremists, they absolutely hate, you know, Western lifestyle because they regard them as un-Islamic. So things like music, alcohol, you know, being out at a bar or a nightclub, a restaurant on a Saturday evening, this is all anathema to these fanatical fundamentalist terrorists. And we mustn't forget that. There's a reason why a pop concert was targeted in Manchester. It is because the extremists believe that is all pure evil, music, alcohol, having fun, unveiled women, etc.
That's something we've known since the Islamic Revolution in Iran. I think what's important to underscore is that on the websites of ISIL and the websites of radicalism that are deliberately targeting the people who might carry out these attacks, it is this hitting the lifestyle over and over and over again. This isn't sort of war with Bush and Trump and Theresa May. This is much more the lifestyle that you're hearing in the language online.
Yes. And there is also a strategic shift, coming back to the earlier question, because after 9/11, a lot of the language was aimed at targeting Western troops, for example, police, aspects of the state. And over the last 3 or 4 years, since the so-called caliphate was declared in Syria and Iraq, the emphasis was come over to the caliphate, come and join the war, the jihad here. Now that that's failing, it's crumbling. That is the strategic shift to say, well, take the war back to your own countries. But they know that individuals are very unlikely to be able to attack heavily fortified government installations like the military or police, etc. So the next strategic shift is precisely innocent civilians. But this is justified in their minds by saying these are Western taxpayers who are supporting government actions abroad, and all this kind of twisted logic which the terrorists use. Anything, any argument that justifies their war on non-believers, if you like, and their dehumanization and murder of non-believers, that is acceptable for them. And we have to be very careful about giving in to such hate speech and divisive rhetoric. The wider issue about marginalizing these extremist voices, it's a difficult task. It's been done before, though. If you think about issues about racism, which we've had in the US and in Britain as well, until recently, you know, a few decades ago, racism was the norm, if you like, in British society, as was homophobia and other issues. But civic society came together from all different places to make racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, etc., unacceptable. The wider issue that you mention about marginalizing these extremist voices, as you said, the extremists have been hiding in plain sight, and there are too many sympathizers, too many hate preachers, people who are anti-Western, who complain about Islamophobia but are actually very Westerphobic, for example. And those kinds of attitudes have to also be marginalized and made unacceptable. And we have to accept that the Islamic tradition has deep resources about statecraft, about building modern nation states, about citizenship, equal citizenship, irrespective of religion. And that's really the only way forward in the modern world, because every society needs a social contract. Now, the terrorist groups do not accept the modern world. They do not accept a modern nation states or shared values, etc. And we have to defeat that argument intellectually and religiously from the Islamic tradition.
Not to celebrate or, I guess, focus on inappropriately emotionalism, Osama Hassan, you're there in London. I mean, it's got to feel like everyone's next.
Well, there's certainly a very somber mood. I was at the scene of the attacks this morning, and it's very dignified, very somber, a very kind of sad mood, but also quite defiant. People are returning to work. They're going about their daily business. There's a lot of anger and resentment, which I think is very restrained. People do want to see action. I think Prime Minister Theresa May resonated yesterday when she said enough is enough, things have to change. We can't carry on just saying just go back to normal, because clearly normal means more terrorist attacks, sadly. So we do have to change things. And I think people want to see the extremists confronted head on by authorities, but also by Muslim communities. I sense the shock within Muslim communities that our religion has been smeared again by this kind of action, but also a sense that we are going to take the steps necessary. So just as white working class communities have to take ownership of the far right neo-Nazi extremist and terrorist threat across the West, Muslim communities do have to take ownership of this fringe problem of terrorism coming from ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
Quite a historic national debate to be going on in the UK, that's for sure. Osama Hassan is head of Islamic studies with Quilliam. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.